I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black.
Happy Friday to everybody. Sometimes there's a thing called house sitting that happens, and that's what's going on today. Nope, we're not renting the new place. We're not moving into the neighborhood. We're only house sitting just for today. I am G. Scott. I'll be hanging out with you all show long. Tom and Curly are away, but don't worry. I won't be doing this thing by myself. I got someone else to come and help me house sit with me. Where's he at right there?
Oh.
As you guys know, I co-host a show with my good buddy Aaron Mason. We do Cairo Nights here on Cairo Radio, and I could not do this show by myself. Aaron Mason joins me. Brother Mace, you put everybody to sleep with this song,
I hate this song. I came on this show one time 3 years ago because I missed a bus and they wanted to talk about it, and I've been saddled with, this depressing tune ever since. It really gets things going, gets the blood pumping.
Well, we're going to be having a good show. Aaron Mason and I will be hanging out with you guys from 9 to 12. Happy Friday to you guys. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Jacob is the only one that is kind of nervous about us being here. Mm-hmm. So there is some, Jacob's here. Jacob, you're okay? You okay with us doing the show?
Yeah. I mean, so far, so good.
Okay. Let's get right to it. Brother Mace, what starts us off in the news, my man?
Yeah, so Aaron Granillo, we call him AG, he talked in his newscast about the vehicle ranching, the RV ranching that's happening in Seattle, and we're trying to get some laws, some things changed to perhaps prevent that. For a little bit of a background on this story, we've got Como's Mutasa reporting on the city of Seattle's plan to crack down on these RVs.
It was full of trash when I got it. I took 9 contractors' bags full of trash out of this RV.
When Steve got his RV, he says it was so filthy he could hardly live in it.
It took me 2 weeks to recover it to the point where it was livable.
But he says it was easy to get it. Steve paid $300. He says some are now taking advantage of the need.
Those people that are towing them things out and renting them out to people are charging, a couple $100 a week.
The mayor wants to crack down on predatory landlords who buy junky RVs at auction for cheap, then rent the extensively damaged RVs to homeless people.
They're extremely dangerous. Fire safety, lots of hazardous chemicals, and they're being used to make money off of people that have nothing.
Landlords would be fined $250, misdemeanor charges for repeat violations, and they would have to pay restitution to the renter for up to $2,000. Aaron Goodman with the Soto Business Improvement Area says the proposal is a start to address a problem that keeps popping up.
We need to come up with a comprehensive plan that addresses the situation as a whole, not just allowing our city streets to become sewage dumps.
So, G, the Seattle Times did a story about one particular guy. His name's Richard Wynn. He's 63 years old. And he basically is one of these guys that charges somewhere around $75 per week to rent out RVs that he gets at auction. And he says something interesting. Now, I think we can all agree that yes, RVs, derelict RVs are a blight. And some of the ones that people are living in are dangerous to themselves and to others. But he argues that in a cutthroat rental market like Seattle, there are folks that can't afford to live in a building. And so they choose these RVs. Did he just find a niche and market himself? You know what I mean? That's the system. Right? You see a need and you go at it. And if he's not breaking any laws, which he's not, is he doing anything wrong?
Yes. He's doing everything wrong. Throw him in jail. And another thing that kind of stands out to me, Mason, I'm going to try not to get too hyper because we're early in the show. Did you just hear them say a comprehensive plan?
Yeah.
To try to stop these? Did I hear a $250 fine mm-hmm. to be assessed to someone doing this? Let me tell you something. If you are renting out RVs to those homeless on the streets, when the fact that they're up to 800 RVs. I'm looking at this report. During this year, one night, King County pointed in one-time homeless count of more than 800 RVs out there on the streets. If you are renting out RVs, you go to jail, prison, for 5 years.
Ooh.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
$75 a week? That's $300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you are taking the keys. You don't even get keys to the place.
Sure.
You take the keys. Oh, you can't drive. You can't use the restroom inside of it. He's telling folks you got to use it in the bag. You got to take care of it. This is a crime. I don't like RVs out on the road anyway. Now, you know how I have a heart. I have passion and empathy for those that are homeless going through hard times. Brother, 2009, it's no secret. I talked about it on Cairo Nights all the time. I lived in my car.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I did that. So I'm not heartless when it comes to situations where some fall on hard times. Totally get it. Totally understand it. But if you're living in your RV, right, and someone comes or the city comes and try to offer you help, and you say, you don't want the help?
Yeah.
Well, then that ain't hard times anymore. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
No. You're not being asked if you want help. You need help, and you're going to take this help or else. It's going to be one of those things. Back to this whole deal of vehicle ranching. There should be no comprehensive plan. Let's get strict on this, Mace.
Well, the RV committee is meeting this morning at 9:30, and they're supposed to figure out exactly what that comprehensive plan will entail. And, of course, Cairo Radio will keep you posted all day long.
Do meetings ever go anywhere? Like, those listening right now, people that have companies, you have jobs. Do meetings work? No. You know what works? We need to talk.
Oh, it strikes fear into my soul, that phrase.
Right?
Yes.
We need to talk.
We need to
get
talk.
Somewhere. All right, we're going to move on. Joe Biden.
Oh, boy.
You guys know who Joe Biden is, right? That's Obama's good friend. Because if you wait long enough, Joe Biden will tell you that Obama is his friend.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait long.
Mm-mm, not at all. Well, Joe, he did it again. Yes, sir. He did it again. Joe Biden, he was, you know, of course, he's leading in the national and early state polling for the Democratic presidential nomination. He was speaking on the subject of education at a town hall in Des Moines hosted by an Asian and Latino coalition. Now, during that speech, Joe Biden made this comment about poor kids.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
Joe.
Now, here's the thing about Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe knew that he kind of messed up.
Yeah, he realized it.
So he realized it, and he's like, "Ooh, I can't do that." So he paused, and then he paused, and he hit you back with the, you know, wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it. But think about how we think about this. How come you didn't include white kids?
Right.
You assumed you did because you use wealthy. Joe Biden has a history.
Yes.
He has a history. Before I get your take on this, I want to tell you, President Trump, he was asked about Joe Biden's comments this morning. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, his comments, look. Joe is not playing with a full deck. He made that comment. I said, whoa, I saw it because I was on something. I had a television. I saw his comment. Joe Biden is not playing with a full deck. This is not somebody you could have as your president. But if he got the nomination, I'd be thrilled.
Not to get sidetracked, but when was the last time you heard a clip of Trump that wasn't in front of, like, a helicopter or a jet engine or the biggest fan in the world?
I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's been, like, his thing.
Joe, you know what? President Trump buying helicopter is like Beyonce with her hair blowing. With the fan.
Uh-huh.
It's like, Beyonce, is your hair always blowing in the wind?
Yeah.
Before you get to the next story, I want to say is this was disappointing because Biden's deputy campaign manager, her name's Kate Bedingfield, this is what she said. She said he misspoke and immediately corrected himself during a refrain he often uses to make the point that all children deserve a fair shot, and children born into lower income circumstances are just as smart as those born to those wealthy parents. And then she also said, she basically pointed at Trump.
Right.
Sure. Like, hey, of course he wants to do this on the 2-year anniversary of Trump calling neo-Nazis and Klansmen very fine people. See, that lets me know that you don't understand. That is so disrespectful.
Sure.
For your campaign people, Biden, to say you misspoke. Do me a favor. Just come out and just admit it. When you try to spin it, that makes things worse, Mace.
Yeah, so, okay, using Trump as the bar for saying inappropriate things, I just fundamentally disagree with. It's too low a bar. Like, we know Donald Trump. We've known Donald Trump for decades.
No doubt.
He's constantly saying inappropriate things. So I wouldn't compare myself to him if you're trying to look better, you know? But what about the idea that Joe Biden misspeaks a lot? When he was vice president, there were jokes all the time about him putting his foot in his mouth. So what about the idea that if you just add one word to that thing he said, we have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as rich white kids. Do you think that he's using that to sort of highlight the discrepancy between wealthy whiter kids and poor inner city black kids? And maybe he missed that word and his intentions are good? Or does that even matter at all to you?
I think Joe Biden and like so many, Brother Mace, have good intention. But they first must recognize and admit their inherent bias.
Sure.
Once you're able to admit that exists, then you'll be okay. Here's a recommendation. I read this book, Marn upstairs, our good buddy upstairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was the one. We've been talking about this book. It's a book called Bias,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
It's the author is Jennifer Eberhardt, Dr. Jennifer Eberhardt. And basically it's the Uncovering the Hidden Prejudice that Shapes What We See, Think, and Do. I recommend that book to all of you so you can really, and in the very beginning, the author starts off with a story. She's black.
Mm-hmm.
Her child is black. She starts off with a story about how her child showed his bias towards someone else black, and
right.
She was blown away by it.
Right.
What I'm saying is we need to all admit our biases that we have, and once you're able to recognize them, then you're like, oh, by the way, it's not a bad thing if you have them.
Right. We all do.
We all
do. It's not a
do.
Party thing.
No.
It's not a politics thing. We all do. That's your human experience creates biases. And yeah, I agree.
Before you get to your next story, if they leave off with misspoke, that's very sad. It's
yeah.
very sad for Biden's side. What do you right. got, buddy?
James Harden.
Oh,
you know about this, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you wanted to go that one. Yeah, James Harden. The Brooklyn Nets guard, Joe Harris, actually, has spent his summer, the last 5 years, hosting a youth basketball camp. Well,
okay.
In this camp of being doing around for 5 years, he has noticed, if you will, a subtle change in the attitudes or the way that young kids are playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's noticing that kids are showing up to getting warm-up lines. They haven't warmed up or anything, and they're shooting threes right away. Well, they're emulating James Harden with the step back three, which is unique.
Now, explain that to me, because I'm not really that familiar with it.
Totally understand. The step back three is when it's kind of just a little jab step back, right?
Okay.
So you're there, the defender's on you, and you go to pick up your dribble, and you little step back, and you go to shoot the three.
Okay.
It's a very hard shot, but let me just kind of keep it simple. This is something that has always happened. Right. So today, kids are the step back shot.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm,
step back three. Yesterday, it was Rick Barry's free throw underhand. It was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's hook shot.
Right.
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 The point is that's a very unique skill set. I'm thinking of the movie Taken. That's a very unique skill set to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very hard to do. And the problem is kids are trying that. And so that's what he's coming out talking about. Kids want to be James Harden, but that's normal. I mean, who didn't want to be Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
back in the day?
Right.
You turned your hat backwards. You try to do things. It's tough. But it's easy to understand to do.
But it reminds me of Michael Jordan and the like jump, the dunk from the free throw line, right? That's just a thing that you pretty much can't do. You probably can't do. And it sounds to me one of the things that's in this story is that when you're 10 and 12, right, your body's not developed yet. You don't have all those muscles. And James Harden stepping away from the basket and shooting at the same time, he's sort of working against his own momentum, and you have to be really strong to do that. It's why that shot is so difficult. And so these coaches are saying, and at least it sounds like me, that you're all setting up these kids for failure because they're trying to emulate their hero. They're trying to do the next cool thing, but it's really difficult when you have the musculature of a 12-year-old.
My dad used to say, if it's hard for you to be yourself, how hard do you think it's going to be someone else? Very simple. We got force.
I love your dad. Refrigerators. Yes, refrigerators. Mm-hmm. Amazon has won a patent for a refrigerator, G, that uses cameras and chemical sensors to sniff out spoiled food. Things in your fridge, maybe they're in the back, you get that funky smell. Mm-hmm. You're like, what's going on here? So they've developed like these cameras and sensors that they put inside all the different areas of the fridge. And when they detect, let's say it's the camera, they detect some sort of mold growing or something like that, you get a picture to your smartphone. Maybe it picks up on some of the gases, you know, like ethylene, which happens when things get overripe and start to spoil. It's like, hey, you know, learn
a new word, but go ahead. Never heard of that.
Your broccoli's bad, you know, and you're gonna get a notification. Here's my problem, though. What's wrong with a fridge? What's wrong with your eyes and nose? Why do I have to spend thousands of dollars on an AI algorithmed refrigerator when I can just look inside? You know what I mean?
What's wrong with going down the street to go get your food? Why you got to have Uber Eats?
Well, I don't use Uber Eats.
Because the truth is...
I'm a simple man, G.
Well, the truth is we are getting lazier and lazier as a society. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, like fast food wasn't fast enough. We need the fast food brought to us.
Right. And ordered for you. Because one of these features that they're talking about with these fridges is that when it notices that something is low, that it could reorder it for you. You can set it up. You can just get it straight from Amazon.
Well, I ain't gonna lie. I'll be totally transparent with you. Last night, we're just kind of debating refrigerators right now. There's one for $3,100 right now. And anyway, it's Wi-Fi hooked up and everything. And it'll tell you, so I can go ahead and tap on the refrigerator and be like, I want some banana pancakes or something like that. Uh-huh. So I type in banana pancakes and it'll say, hey, you don't have you're missing these ingredients. Do you want to Amazon fresh it? Woo. Get it brought right to you?
I don't know what's wrong with your eyes and nose. I'll say it again.
What's that?
What's wrong with your eyes and nose?
Nothing. You guys are listening to Tom and Curly. That's Brother Mace. I'm G. Scott. We're filling in. We're just kind of house-sitting a little bit. Coming up next, tribute bands. Tribute bands in Seattle. What's your take on that? I have no idea, but Aaron Mason sure knows a lot about it. Tom and Curly. Welcome back in. It's G and Mace filling in for Tom and Curly. The 9 o'clock hour of Tom and Curly is brought to you by Keel Mortgage. KeelMortgage.com. Coming up next, we're going to tell you how somebody's a superhero, but he plays a bad guy in movies. Just kind of weird. So we can talk about that in the 9:45 segment. But right now, question for you, Mace, and everybody listening. By the way, the Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. We love it when you text us and say hi and add to the conversation. Do you prefer a certain type man or woman? Do you prefer man or woman to be the person that gives you your music? Do you care?
I used to. When I was like a teenager.
Really?
Yeah. I listened to a lot of like rock. You know, I grew up like punk stuff and that sort of like aggressive music. And there was something for me about the strain in a guy's voice when they sing and when women sing the same thing. I think about like Courtney Love. Do you know her? She was married
to Kurt Cobain.
I'm just checking. There are people out there that might not.
Man, sometimes you be checking on me. I know who Courtney Love is.
You're full of surprises. I never know.
I don't know that. Yes.
So I used to, but now no. I've grown up and I've learned to appreciate different things about music.
Okay, so I went down a rabbit hole with this article because I was like and I kind of changed my mind. You ever do that? Read something, you kind of change your mind. Here's the deal.
Yeah, constantly.
There right now is a push towards gender balanced lineups or so called 50-50 pledges when it comes to music festivals,
sure.
Right? They're trying to even it out, make sure things are even. This is led by PRS Key Change Initiative, which calls for equal numbers of male and female performers at high-profile festivals and music events by 2022. 250 music organizations have already signed up, and Primavera Sound, held in Barcelona in May of 2019, was the first music festival to achieve a 50-50 gender balance.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. They're talking about this, and they're saying that the problem begins when we basically look more closely at what happens when quotas are used to address gender equalities and everything like
now,
that.
Now, I'm interested to hear that there's issues with it, that there's a problem with it, because if you know me, it's so valuable to have, if you're a little girl, it's so valuable to have a woman in a prominent place, you know, more visible, and that inspires you. You see someone that's like you in a high profile or high power position. That's a good thing, right?
Which brings me to my point. When I start reading this article, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, what do you mean? There's no problem. You don't need to have no quotas in music, right? And then, by the way, numbers kind of do it for you. There was a recent report from Anberg Inclusion Initiative that studied 700 popular music songs released here in the United States between 2012 and 2016. Check this out. Women made up 21.7% of artists, 12.3% of songwriters, and only a tiny 2.1% of producers.
Hmm.
And then I'm looking at this, I'm like, whoa. Which brings proof to a lot of times when we have an opinion on the topic.
Yeah.
And it comes from our observations.
Right.
We don't sometimes think about that. Like, sure. I didn't think that there was a problem with the disparity between men and women artists.
Yeah,
until right now.
You think of big artists, right? You think of like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga and Katy Perry. Like, it feels like there are a ton of women in the music industry, but as we see, it turns out that that's not necessarily true.
You really did prefer man over woman back in the day?
Yeah.
When it came to your music?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't not like female singers, but it was like, if it wasn't singer-songwritery and like pleasant, I didn't like female rock.
I'm just giving you a hard time because I was the same way with rap music.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't like female rappers. With bad, right? I'm looking back like, who are you?
I know. I was missing out on so much.
Yeah. What do you got?
I didn't even know. So apparently, there is a glutton of tribute bands in Seattle. Okay. So much so that the Seattle Times, Chris Talbot at the Seattle Times, wrote an article titled, "Why Are There So Many Tribute Bands in Seattle?" And I used to be in a band. I used to play around. It was a cover band.
Mm-hmm.
We played songs from movies, and a lot of our shows were with these tribute acts, right? You'd have bands come in. We never played with Hell's Bells, but they're a all-female AC/DC tribute band.
Okay.
They've been doing it for 20 years. They're local. They're amazing. The actual AC/DC has fully given them the thumbs up, right? The biggest crowds I ever played to, biggest audiences, sellouts, were always with these tribute bands. And it turns out that that's not like an isolated incident. In the article, they talked to Dan Cohen. He owns the Tractor Tavern down there in Ballard, and he helps book the Sunset Tavern as well. And he says, it's real simple. They make money. People want to hear, now this is not him quoting, this is me saying, I think people just want to hear songs that they already know. When you go see an original artist play original songs, you don't know any of them. But if you go see a band that every song they play is something you've rocked out to in the past, you're spending money at the bar, you're dancing around, you're having a good time, and so it just makes a lot more money.
I'm so guilty.
Right, we all are.
I'm so guilty. And sir, ma'am, your voice sounds amazing. It really does. Mm-hmm. But I don't care about what you're, I don't know what you're singing. I need you to give me something that I already know of.
Yeah.
And I was that way even with concerts that we go to. Have you ever paid your money to go to a concert? And when you've paid your money and you go there and somebody asks you, hey, how was the concert? Oh, they were playing way too much new stuff.
Right.
I didn't know the new stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I only got a little bit of the old. When I pay for that, I want to get the stuff that I know.
Play the hits.
I never really realized that the prejudice when it comes to music.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Playing original music can be a harder sell. There are occasional gaps in touring acts. So when Dan Cohen, he's the owner of the Tractor Tavern, he says he used to be one way. He used to be like, nope, cover bands, bah. This is I want original artists doing original music. And he was like, there'd be, not enough people to book or gaps in touring acts. So he's like, fine, we'll throw a cover band in there, a tribute band. Right. And they would make all the money. So much so that he says we can do 50 to 80% more bar business on nights like those. The crowd drinks at parties a bit more.
I was going to ask you guys, Andrew, Jacob, Mace, I was going to ask you guys this question during the break because I didn't know if I should ask this in front of everyone, but who cares? I guess I'm going to ask it. since we're talking about music and cover bands, we're talking about music that you know. Why is it that when the song Sweet Caroline comes on, why do you guys get so excited? It just seems like everybody's minding their own business, and all of a sudden that song comes up, and then you guys, you love the bump, bump, bump. You know, I had to do that whole deal.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
98973 is Online Trading Academy text line. Help me understand what is so good about that Sweet Caroline.
It's catnip for white people, Jay. We freak out. Sweet Caroline, and then everybody, whoa, I'll be doing my taxes, and that song will come on, and I will just have to break out. It's required. It's in our white people paperwork.
Coming up next on Tom and Curly in the 10 o'clock hour, we talk a lot. We talk about the NCAA changing rules. And unfortunately, we have to talk about the 680 undocumented workers that were arrested. Means words, guys, listen to the show. And again, at 9:45, we talk about someone who plays a bad guy, but in real life, the nicest guy in the world. Tom and Curly, GMAs.
Reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline.
Welcome back in to Tom and Curly. Those guys are away. It's G and Mace filling in for those guys. We're doing the best that we can.
Yes, sir.
We had to play a song that, hey, for some reason, these guys love that song when it comes on.
When you say these guys.
These guys, you guys hanging out with me today? Mm-hmm. That's what I meant, these guys. What are you thinking I meant? Let's get a little uncomfortable around here. What do you got for us, Mace?
Okay, so do you guys know who Danny Trejo is?
Yeah.
If you don't know him by name, Danny Trejo is a gnarly looking, he was ex-gang. I believe he's a Mexican guy, and just tattoos everywhere and scars, and he always plays villains in his movies, except for the Machete series, which is an excellent series of films if you're into that kind of thing.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's pretty solid.
Okay.
But something happened with Danny Trejo. He was in LA and there was a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rushed over to the car accident. It happened nearby him. And he was on Fox News. He was talking to Shep Smith about his experience rescuing a kid from that accident.
Danny Trejo is with us now.
I
I guess you never know.
How are you? I'm Danny Trejo.
I guess you never know when you're going to be in that kind of a position. What was going through your mind?
No, I kind of just thank God I was like in the right place at the right time. And I got into the car, but I couldn't unbuckle the car seat. I think if the baby wasn't in that car seat, probably would have died. Because the whole tore off the whole back seat. And so then this little girl, Monica Jackson, she reached her little hand in. She had a small enough hand to be able to push that button. And then that's when I got the kid out.
So Trejo also explained how he stopped that kid from going into shock.
My kid's mom, Maeve, worked with special needs children. So I knew immediately that this kid was special needs. And he started like stiffening up, like going into shock. So I just kind of started talking about superpowers and you got to use your super. And so he flexed and said superpowers. And then we kind of walked away from the wreck. The aunt came and mom was just freaking. And so I just kind of told her, be calm because you'll scare him. And then she's trying to tell me he's special needs. I know. And I said superpowers.
Yeah, where'd you come
and
up with that?
I think she understood that I knew. Well, you know what? Well, Maeve, she always kind of said distraction. You know, it's like if they're having an episode, it's like you can distract them. So I just kept talking about superpowers. Use your superpowers.
He's so cool. So what was he even doing in that area at the time?
You know what? I was on my way calmly to Chubby's Automotive where I work on my cars. I'm one of them celebrities that works on their cars. I don't buy them.
Right.
And it just happened, you know, and then you just react. It's like, you know, this world, you know, we're supposed to help each other. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. I think that's the way the good Lord wants us to be, is just help each other.
Amen.
And so I just tried to help.
You can never judge a book by its cover, G.
Never can. And I don't judge him by the way that he looks. I judge him by what he plays
right
on television. Yeah. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing to do with what he looks. Tattoos, just because you tattoos and you're Hispanic,
right,
or just like you're a black man and you got tattoos, that don't mean that you're a bad person. He plays a bad dude on TV.
Yeah.
This is kind of bittersweet, though. You know what I mean? Like, first of all, it's awesome. It's amazing what he did.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I can see him in movies now.
You know what I mean? Now you know he's a teddy bear.
It's kind of like The Rock.
Right.
Some of the movies that he's played, Rock, I'm sorry, man. I can't look at you the same. When you're driving a car for some little kids, mm-mm. Tom and Curly, everybody.